Hey everybody, welcome to Kate Update. Today we're going to do basically our NFL predictions, not give you anything. It's myself, Kate Thomas, your host. We have a great and very special guest with us today, DeMarco Arches, national champion with the UWF Argos back in 2018, has been playing over in Europe for a while. As still playing edge, right? Or you said this year you may play linebacker, so welcome into the show, DJ.
Thank you for having me. Yeah, I'm going to play inside this year. I'm going to play more like Mike Will type thing. Try to get a little more versatility on my film.
And you were just talking to me prior. Tell me a little bit about NFL Europe and just kind of your journey. So I'm sure with the NFL draft being tonight, for you, you recognize through these athletes what's at stake, just how difficult it is to get there, and what you kind of need to be made of in order to get into the league and then stay in the league, stay healthy, and hopefully, you know, be someone who really is able to take their game to the next level. I mean, how hard is it just even getting to this spot to be considered to go in the first round in the NFL like tonight for these guys?
I mean, it's huge. I think a lot of people watch it and they don't really realize like that there's a lot more to do with it than just talent. A lot of that stuff has to do with who you know, who your agent is, who where they can get you, who you like, what team you're marketable to, and et cetera. So it's a lot. A lot of those guys. I mean, everybody who is in that situation should definitely be part of themselves. It's a long journey. It takes a lot of dedication, a lot of commitment, so.
Yeah, I can't even imagine. And goodness gracious, at this year's draft, it just really, the amount of talent. Even for these, you know, first five picks outside of the Chicago Bears, who everybody is pretty much there locked in on Caleb Williams. I think that's pretty set in stone. Do you agree, or do you think there's anything wavering away from that? Because it seems like even just for the NFL Combine, just kind of showing face, hey, here I am, that type of thing. But what's your opinion on him and coming out as the first-round draft pick?
I mean, with the Bears trading Justin Fields, I'm pretty sure Caleb Williams is a lot, which I don't really understand. I think
And I just didn't mention Justin Fields, and I just feel bad for that kid.
Yeah,
I just feel like this past season just really wore on him. You know, like it just did. It's first with the robotic what talk of him and the coaching, and it's unfortunate.
Right.
The year
he got a bad hand. Like he didn't really get a fair chance. If you ask me, like the Bears are terrible.
Well, so then, all right, Caleb Williams locked for Chicago. You think he's going to work out for them?
There's no telling who will work out for Chicago. I don't think they've had a good quarterback as what, Jay Cutler? Like, I don't think they've. I think it's harder for them. Like, I don't think the picks are the problem. I think their front office is the problem. Like, for example, again, I don't think there's anything wrong with Justin Fields. He just never had an O-line, and his number one receiver was what? They tried to make it Claypool, and then it was Darnell Mooney. Like, the two guys who should never be anyone's number one wide receiver.
You talk about wide receiver. There's a lot of talented guys in this year's first round who could go as well. I want to get to that later, but you're right. Look, can Caleb Williams save the Bears? Who knows? There's, I think, still a team that's figured it out. But there's a lot of questions when we look at the number two overall pick with the Washington Commanders. First, before we even get into it, I know that my alma mater, LSU quarterback Jaden Daniels, is considered kind of a favorite for that position, but I'm wondering, one, if you heard about the whole Topgolf situation with the Commanders and how they invited about 20 players or so, a lot of the quarterbacks, to go play Topgolf. And most of the players, I think, had a good experience, but however, it didn't really seem to impress Daniels or his agent, and a lot of people are wondering if that's going to affect anything on whether or not he decides to go with that team.
Yeah.
And they make an agreement, you know?
I mean, shoot, I think it was, it was kind of a I can see how Jaden Daniels took it as a slap in the face just because, like, the Bears, I'm pretty sure they haven't really had too many conversations with anybody other than Caleb Williams. Because that's what they locked in with. So, like, once you, as a quarterback, you kind of want that security and that, you know, that validation that they only want you and that it's just you. But I don't think it's anything to get worked up over. At the end of the day, the NFL is a business. So, I feel like if he gets worked up, that's kind of like a red flag on him. Like, but also at the same time, if the Commanders were telling him, like, look, you're our guy, like, you're who we want, then that's on their part, and that's a flop on them.
Yeah, it's crazy with the amount of talent at quarterback and the amount of different scenarios that teams could do. I mean, we talk about that, and yeah, I'm sure as Daniels, look, hey, if you want me to be your number one, you bring me out here, but you bring a ton of other guys, including a ton of other quarterbacks like Jaden McCarthy and so on. And it just, he's like, and I'm not your guy. He's thinking it's going to be a whole one-on-one situation. If not, it turns into, it was a huge invite to multiple prospects and, you know, high-level talent that he could potentially be with. And the other thing when I look at Daniels is Heisman winner. This is a guy, because I follow LSU heavily. That's my alma mater. But the only worry I have, now he showed his toughness, I think, throughout the entire season and has in his career so far. But still, as far as what, he's still a slender guy. I wonder what your thoughts are on his kind of athletic build and how you think that's going to match up and hold up in the NFL.
Lamar Jackson came in and he's a running quarterback and he was built like a toothpick. And then, I mean, as long as he's not getting, you know, tore up, as long as he's not taking hits every other play, then I don't think it's that big a deal. But they also said, like, the big thing about Jaden Daniels is that he takes a lot of hits. So I can't really, you know.
Yeah, he does take a lot of hits. There's going to be probably about 9-plus offensive guys. And, well, they'll be on offense to help Daniels, but also a lot of defensive guys. Probably, I think the over-under for defensive guys in the draft right now is, I think, is 6 points right now. So maybe 6 defensive guys, too. There's an incredible amount of talent in a lot of teams who really need to look at what their needs are and really consider defenses. Maybe like the Atlanta Falcons. Hey, don't go take a skilled player if you're at the Atlanta Falcons. Maybe, you know, get a good defensive guy who can really put some pressure on all the other offenses that they've been up against. Because, I mean, talk about what a snooze they've been the last couple of years, too. And that includes the New Orleans Saints. If I don't see them pick someone on the offensive line at 14, I'll be pretty mad. You know, there's just so much to go on. And I guess as we move on to the overall number 3 pick for the New England Patriots, it's interesting, what are they going to do there? They have an option to trade back, or they can stay at number 3. Do they get a quarterback and let someone sit behind Jacoby Brissett for a year? Maybe someone like Drake May. What happens if Daniels doesn't go with the Commanders? Or is J.J. McCarthy their answer? Or is, you know, Jim Harbaugh going to do something in order to maybe bring him over the Chargers? So many scenarios. From what I heard with Harbaugh and the Chargers, that he's pretty much a lock-in with Justin Herbert. Yeah, he's happy with him. He probably has a similar style of player, I would say, even to just McCarthy, but a little bit more talent. So is J.J. McCarthy sort of like a Tom Brady in the making, and do you think that the Patriots could choose him, or who do you see them going with, or what position, or even trading back at their 3rd overall pick?
I like Bo Nix. I like Bo Nix a lot for the Patriots. Yeah. I think,
you know what? I agree.
I think Bo Nix is the best fit for what they're trying to do. I think, he's a big long guy. They don't have like many, you know, many, I'm not sure what their receiver situation is. I think, as of right now, they don't really have anybody that is a true number one receiver. I gotta fact check myself, but I'm pretty sure. And I think Bo Nix is the answer for them. I think if he sits behind Brissett for even a couple of games, I don't think it's going to take a whole season. But or even maybe he might start week one. I would have to see how he looks in preseason. But I definitely think Bo Nix is the answer for the Patriots. And I think if they trade, they're going to feel like real bad about that, because the only other thing I can see them doing is maybe trading to get like Sam Howell or something like that. But I don't think Sam Howell is good. And I don't think I'm not taking Drake May over Bo Nix right now.
Well, this is what's interesting. So much chatter around the league about, or not even around the league, but just in media in general about Drake May.
Mm-hmm.
He's not the to me. He's the perfect built, you know, guy, right? And he can do this, his stats are decent, but everybody thinks somehow he's just going to, like, turn into this incredible quarterback. He's not the best quarterback overall, in my eyes, personally. Bo Nix, actually, he's experienced. Look, he's been in college for how long? He's probably the same age as some of the younger quarterbacks in the NFL already. He's experienced, and he has a good story, and you know, the more I think about it, I actually feel like he's a great fit for New England. And you're right. They probably will be sad if they sleep on him. You know, I see a lot of success coming from Nick, you know, in the NFL. And definitely just with the experience that's under his belt as well.
Yeah, for sure. I think, obviously it's going to all be on him when he does. But I think the answer for them is definitely is Bo Nix. I think if they get anybody else, they're going to be disappointed.
Yeah, it'll be really interesting to see. The other thing is maybe a trade back, but I think that this year it's just too good.
Yeah, I don't think a trade back would be good because, like, what is a trade back really going to do for you? Like, they need all the picks they can get.
They do, and especially with everything, you know, they've gone through and you know, just like coming into creating kind of a new culture and what does the Patriots look like without Bill Belichick? And, you know, it's interesting. We're going to say Bo Nix Patriots for the third overall pick. Now, let's look at the Arizona Cardinals. They're interesting. They've actually got two selections in the first round. As well as the Vikings and the Bears, I believe. So where do you see the Cardinals going? I've seen some talk of maybe looking at some wide receiver. LSU, they've got two probably of the top wide receivers, at least in, I would say, top first round wide receivers in the NFL draft right now with Brian Thomas Jr. and Malik Nabers. And so I see Nabers as a possible for the Cardinals good fit. I don't know. What are your thoughts on him?
I think Nabers is really, really good. I just don't know if he's better than Marvin Harrison Jr.
It's almost easy to forget.
Yeah, no, for sure. It's a tough one. The thing about Marvin Harrison is, like, if I'm a GM, I'm taking the chance on Marvin Harrison. Well, you put millions of dollars in these guys. I'm taking Marvin Harrison before I take Malik Nabers, because if I don't know anything else, I know he knows how to be a pro. So, like, I don't got to worry about all the off-the-field distractions. And not saying Malik Nabers has had any off-the-field issues or anything like that. But just, you know, like, with everything that's been going on with the current, like, the pass receivers that's come in, I don't know, as with that fourth pick, and you know, like, if you're the Cardinals, you have to hit. I think I'm taking Marvin Harrison just because at the end of the day, like I said, if I don't know anything else, I know he knows how to come in and be a pro. And I don't have to coach him up on how to be a pro. Like, he knows how to come in and do all that. Now, will he translate what he did to college? Will it translate to the NFL? I'm not sure. But I know that I don't have to worry about all of the off-the-field and outside things. And,
yeah, so this is what's really interesting about what you said, because Bill Belichick made a quote recently, I think it was on Pat McAfee's show, about saying that really what the NFL draft is the NFL kind of tries to keep everybody quiet, but it's with all these sports agents everywhere, and it So with Marvin Harrison Jr., to me, he kind of reminds me of maybe Larry Fitzgerald or so. You know, back in the day, I mean,
he's not going to burn you, but he can go get the ball, and he's huge.
So where I was going with this four-second thing, I think it was because it's how they represent you and your brand. And so it's been interesting because I heard a few things about Neighbors and his maturity level, I guess, is what a lot of people have been talking about. And so to me, do you just think that Marvin Harrison Jr., just from his time with the Buckeyes, is just already more professional? Because Neighbors also played under, you know, Brian Kelly, who is kind of a real stickler of a coach. And as far as off the field, there may be some shenanigans here and there. But, I mean, at LSU, that's always going on, man.
For me, it's not even about the school. It's just about the fact of who his dad is. Like, with guys like that, like, yeah, it's tough. Like, you know, they could be bust or they could be, you know, really good. But I just feel like with Marvin Harrison, like, his dad was such a professional. His dad never had too many, you know, outside issues. And even with him being at Ohio State and, you know, with all eyes being on him, like, you don't hear anything about Marvin Harrison Jr. Like, there isn't any, like, I don't know about you, but I haven't heard any bad press of Marvin Harrison Jr. I haven't even heard so much of anybody being concerned of what, like, how he'll translate to the NFL.
You know what? You're exactly right. And even, you know what, you can watch the way he carries himself and just really see that the young man is extremely professional.
Right, exactly. And that's the biggest thing, I think, at this level. Like, a lot of people, like, they don't really look at the whole thing. And I feel like if you look at just all around, like, yeah, Malik Neighbors, don't get me wrong, like, he's a freak athlete. Like, his 40 times, what did he run, like, a 4? At his 40, he ran, what, a sub-4.2? Or a sub-4.3, my bad?
Something insane.
Yeah, it was something crazy that he ran. Like, I was just watching a video on it the other day, so, like, he's a freak athlete. But like I said, at the end of the day, if I'm a GM and I'm putting millions of dollars into this, you know, into this guy, and I know, like, this is one of those picks, because the Cardinals are down right now, so it's one of those picks, like, I think the GM has to make something happen or he's out of there. And if it's up to me, I'm 100% going with Marvin Harrison, just because of, like I said, the outside professional fact that I know his dad has already taught him how to be a pro. Since he was a kid, he's been around pros, you know, and everybody doesn't get the opportunity, so I think, like, there's a possibility for him to be a generational talent with those types of things. And you can't really pass up on somebody like him from Malik Neighbors. Again, granted, this is not a knock at all on Malik Neighbors' ability, but just when it comes to being a pro, I feel like, you know, like, that's something you won't have to teach Marvin Harrison. You might have to teach Malik Neighbors, and it could be worth it.
It could be. You never know. Everybody's maturity level and the way they kind of grasp things and handle things happens at different times, you know, in their lives, and different people have influence on them. So maybe wherever Neighbors goes, hopefully it's around a really good coaching staff and some veteran leadership on a team that can really kind of show him the right way and everything you need to do to really be truly successful, you know, all around in the NFL. And that's me as an LSU person coming in. I want to talk about the Chargers. They kind of have several different directions they're going to go. I don't even completely know. I'm not sure what they'll decide to do. Obviously, for the LA Chargers at number 5, kind of switching over.
I can't even tell you. I've been hearing so much stuff about them. Like, I've been hearing that Harbaugh might go get McCarthy, and he might
heard that too.
The running back, what's his name? I forgot his name. The running back from Michigan. I forgot his name. They were talking about he might go get him. I've been hearing a lot about them, so I'm not really sure where to go with them.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know either. After hearing what I've heard about Harbaugh and him wanting Justin Herbert and that being maybe one of the reasons he went back to coach with the Chargers and seeing what quarterback he was, that he's probably going to stay with keeping him the starting quarterback. Even though there's been so much talk, because he's got obviously an amazing relationship with his former quarterback from Michigan, J.J. McCarthy. And then Yeah, as far as his running back, I'm just blank on the name too, because that's how underwhelmed I was by the season. No, they were good. 15-0, they're national champions. It's funny, my fiance graduated from Ohio State, so Buckeyes, I just felt like needed one more shot. I didn't like the way the playoffs worked out this year. We've got though, you know, a new format this year, and things are definitely going to be looking different. I guess as we look at the first round tonight, do you think there's going to be a lot of surprises? Do you think this is going to be maybe a more exciting draft in years past? Just how do you kind of go into it looking at the first round and really looking at the draft overall? Because I feel like each day, all 3 days as we go through this, they can be life-changing for some of these teams if they do everything right, maybe make certain trades here and there, this and that. So what are your kind of just thoughts going into tonight?
I'm just kind of interested to see what everybody's going to do. I feel like this is one of the most recent drafts where, like, people can't really put a finger on where people are going, you know? Like, the only person who's really alive right now is Caleb Williams. Other than that, he's really not even alive. Like, we don't even know what the Bears are doing. Like, everybody wants to say, like, yeah, the Bears are going to go get him, but in all honesty, you never know. So, I feel like this is one of the more recent drafts where everybody's just kind of guessing. Like, nobody really knows.
Yeah, you know, and you make a good point, and that's something that, you know, a lot of people have been talking about this year in particular. It seems like NFL and their ownership have done a better job at stopping, I guess, some leaks or maybe letting, you know, any news or anything get out before tonight. Now, again, the NFL is a business, so they've got a lot of TV deals riding on their live NFL draft, right? So their probably top priority is, hey, we don't want the word out to get around everywhere because we're trying to do something that's live in the moment that's happening now and keep everybody on their toes guessing, especially with how hot sports betting has got everywhere. They definitely don't want any leaks with that. And the Gen Z crowd has apparently got really great at sports betting. Apparently on TikTok, they've got all kind of people who can basically teach you everything you need to know to make sure you win at least something. So, yeah, I mean, it's a different year. And this year, I'm more excited for me, I think, personally, about the talent that's there and then really about the different needs of some of these teams and to see what's going to happen with every, you're right. Like, how does all of this unfold, right?
Right. Yeah, no, for sure. It's like, it's a lot. I mean, like I said, it's like, you don't, this is one of the more unpredictable drafts, which is, it's interesting. And it's, you know, it's exciting, but I feel like nobody really knows what's about to happen. Like, anybody who's like, yeah, I know for a fact someone's about to pick, but you're lying. Like, there's no way.
Right, right. Well, it should be a good one. Any thoughts on anything going on with the New Orleans Saints? Offensively, they need a lot, especially on the line. They had Hurst retire, announced that yesterday. At first, they were looking probably offensive tackle. Now they maybe need a line. They need something, but it's got to be on offense. Really don't like Derek Carr, so that's like, did they take a quarterback? What do? Do they trade up? I mean, goodness gracious, the city of New Orleans, because I lived there for a number of years, I'm going to tell you about their relationship with the New Orleans Saints. They are such loyal fans, and they're crazy as hell. They sure are. But they are so passionate. I mean, the dome gets so loud. The press box is really up in the very sky. So a lot of times I've been in the press box, and you're in the sky at the very top, but been on the field for games as well. And you almost are, it's where your ears are kind of ringing after you leave the stadium type thing. That's what it gets like in the Superdome, because, you know, the Superdome's in an enclosed a football place. So it's all the noise just really builds up, and it's good that it's enclosed because it rains all the time in Louisiana. So thankfully they've got that closed stadium. But look, the Saints, they really need everything, and they really need to do something smart, because fans are just, they're kind of getting tired of them not being great, especially after the Sean Payton, Drew Brees era. You know, so I don't think people believe Carr is the answer either. And with so many
I never thought he was.
So what do you do?
Yeah, Derek Carr doesn't fit the New Orleans Saints like mold. I honestly thought Jameis Winston was the answer for you guys.
You know, I'm not against that thought either. He's a guy that has had a really tough career. You know, you know, just injury wise and everything that's gone on with him, but he has stayed loyal. Now, there was a lot of controversy last season, although they do hate the Atlanta Falcons, with them, you know, already winning and, you know, still going for it. And that was his call against the coach. So I don't think that sat too well, you know, with fans and some coaching staff.
That's competitive,
and
so, who cares?
Yeah, it is. It's like, it says, that's right. And it says, so I think, first on their line offensively, you've got to probably do a few things, and then you need to consider, hey, do we try to trade up, get into round two?
Right.
If there's still guys like, I don't know, Michael Penix Jr., maybe if Bo Nix is still hanging around by that time, which I doubt he is, or, you know, teammate could be a fit for the Saints as well. Although, you know, I think you have a good point with the Patriots. They would be stupid not to take Bo Nix as well. But there's so many talented guys at quarterback, at wide receiver. But if you talk about offense, probably about 9 offensive guys on the over-under for tonight, about 6 over-under defensively for tonight in the NFL. Then I think they're saying about 4.5 quarterbacks in the first round. So, and then there could be, I want to say, I think, I can't remember exactly what the over-under was on trades for the first round, but they're expecting a lot of trades.
Yeah. I mean, it's kind of up in the air. Like, there's, like, and right now, it's just really no time. It ain't no, like I said, I really want to say, as much as we can sit and speculate, like, I would love to be, like, yeah, if I had to bet, like, if I had to bet on anything, I'd put, you know, money on Bo Nix to go at 3, but I can't tell.
Well, the last thing I kind of want to ask you, and they've got a late round 1 pick. They've got the 26th overall pick, is the Tampa Bay Bucks. And
they've
got
to go get an edge. They have to go get an edge. Like, they have no choice.
And are there any guys that you've seen that you think might be on the list for them, or at least should?
So for them, the good thing is there's a lot of really good edges in the draft. One of the guys that I've really like looked at his film a good amount is Todd Robinson from Penn State. He's decent. Like, I think he's really good. My personal favorite is Jared Verse from Florida State. I think he's an animal. He could do work, but I also see him possibly getting moved to inside because of his height. And the last guy that I've been hearing a whole lot about is Yaki Latu from UCLA. I've watched film on all 3 of them, and I think any 3 of them would be a fit. The main thing for the Bucks is that they just have to get an edge. Like, you can't leave the first round without getting an edge, because after the first round, they're going to be gone. Like, you're not going to get
And you know that. You know that as a former edge, I'm sure you have watched of that film, so you're the best person to speak on that.
Right. They, like I said, if they don't grab the edge within that first round, like, Todd Robinson's going to be gone. Jared Verse is going to be off the board fast. Unless they have an early second round pick, Jared Verse really might go first round. Todd Robinson has potential to go first round. And Leatu Latu has very, like, a huge upside to go first round. So right now, like, if their first pick isn't an edge, then they're going to be out of luck. I don't know anybody.
Yeah. This is the thing, and we talked about it. We said the Falcons probably need to go get someone defensively as well who can provide pressure. Will they do that? Will they kind of go the way they've gone the past
you
few years and get a skilled position player? You never know. You never know.
Yeah.
Who do you think, if the Falcons decide to go that way, defensively, who do you see going there?
For the Falcons?
Yes.
Or which one? Like, for, you saying, like,
just like, if we want to bring in a defensive player for the Falcons, who do you see going
any of those
them?
Three edges I just said? Either Verse, Latu, or Chop. Any three right, of them.
Well,
like, any three of them
any
would be
three.
Good. Any team they go to, you guys mean.
So, well, it'll be interesting to see which way they go. They're always
but
playing.
But also, like,
I just never know.
Falcons take care. Yeah, right, exactly. You never know what the Falcons. I mean, they should have made a play for Brian Burns, if you ask me. Like, if Brian Burns is on the market, there's no way you can't make a play for him. Like, there were a lot of good defensive guys, like, that they could have picked up. And they went and paid Kirk Cousins $180 million for Jesus knows what. Like, that was the most
right.
senseless offseason move. Like, you, like, this guy.
I just feel like a lot of teams, they make decisions are questionable.
Yeah, my thing is, you're in Atlanta, right? You got Cam Newton, who's from Georgia. So, instead of saying, we're going to pay Cam the vet minimum or whatever we're going to do, and we're gonna go get, you know, some rookie and work on him, or even let Cam work with Desmond Ridder. You go get a guy who's, what, 36, has never won a playoff game, and just came off an ACL, an Achilles injury? It just doesn't make sense. And you're going to pay him $180 million? That makes zero sense at all.
Well,
right,
it'll be, we don't know what they're going to do. There's so many questions in the air. We kind of talked about.
The front office is ridiculous.
Well, and I hope they stay that way because as a Saints fan, honestly, we hate this stuff. Anyway, so the last thing I've got to get with you, I was like, it's going to be 10 to 15 minutes. Okay, it's been a little bit longer than that. Just on the line, offensively, who do you see really stand out? Now, I know you're a defensive guy, but when you look at any of the offensive guy, linemen and tackles, is there anyone that has really caught your eye?
There's a tackle. I caught him when I was watching Todd Robinson. There's a tackle from Penn State. I don't remember his name, but he's big and he moves really good. And there's the guy, Joe Alt from Notre Dame. But he'll be gone early, but I think Joe Alt is probably going to be one of the best tackles in this draft.
Right. So, and the tackle out of Penn State now, he's got one of those names and Penn State's not a team that I really go after, but Olu Fosno, I believe is how, or Fosno is, I believe is how you say his name, and don't quote me on that, it's probably, as a broadcaster, I'm supposed to have that right up the tip of my tongue, but yeah, Joe Alt as well. Hopefully, you know, the Saints, they need some power on their line offensively. Especially, you know, after the retirement of Hurst, and offensively to protect if they keep Carr, who not anyone's too thrilled about. So they're going to have to do something if they want to perform in any, if they're going to perform well on offense, truly, they've got to get the line right, especially if Carr stays. I say if you can find a way to get yourself maybe a different quarterback. Well, we might see that. Who knows? But I think their line and time, just everything, they've got to get that right before they go anywhere else. Mm-hmm. Well, look, all right. This has been a lot of fun, man.
For sure.
Anything else on the draft you think we need to test? You could talk about it for hours and hours and hours. You truly can't. The amount of research and film and hearsay and rumors and then tweets and just ridiculous stories that come out of everything leading up to the NFL draft is always wild. We're really expecting a really good one tonight. I'm excited to see a lot of these teams and kind of see where it goes. And maybe, you know, as they go throughout the draft, me and you can catch up again and kind of see where we stood on how everything does unfold starting tonight and throughout the next 3 days.
Right, no, for sure, yeah, definitely. I look forward to talking to you again. We'll definitely touch on it and see how everything's going. I feel like a lot of these picks are probably going to surprise you. We'll definitely have some things to talk about.
Hopefully a really surprising and exciting NFL draft is what I look forward to. That's what sports is all about. It's an entertainment industry, truly. DeMarco,
for sure.
Artist, Goodness gracious, so you're going to be playing in Europe for the NFL as a linebacker this season. National champion back in 2018 with the UWF Argos. It is always a pleasure. One of the best defensive guys I know. Good at Ed. Good at linebacker. Good at everything. And I know one day I'm going to be calling your name, or we're going to be watching your name get called in this draft. And hopefully it's a lot sooner than later. Thank you so much for joining me and taking the time today.
Thank you. Yes, man. I appreciate you having me.